This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. By BlackStarLabs.com, you can save 10% on every order when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com, high-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and first off with us this week is Tony Gentilcore of GentilcoreTraining.com and the Boston Herald Step Up blog, no longer sponsored by Reebok, sadly. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, Kevin? Thanks for the reminder.
No problem. And also, we have a very special guest for those of you who are on the newsletter email list. This is why you're on the newsletter list, because you got an email about 24 hours ago about Mike Robertson coming on the show, and really, you guys were the only ones who were able to submit questions. So that's our guest this week, Mike Robertson of RobertsonTrainingSystems.com and also of IndianapolisFitnessAndSportsTraining.com. Mike, how's it going?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me back. Well, it's always nice to be on here and hang out with you guys a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's been a couple months since we've had you on, so I thought it was great. We get a ton of emails from the listeners. I think we should jump right into that. But first, I think people might want to know a little bit about what IFAST is, if you want to just give the audience a little bit of knowledge about what's been going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, you know, Bill and I finally got things together. We opened up a new facility. We're calling it Indianapolis Fitness and Sports Training, or IFAST for short, because that's a long, you know, big run-on sentence to say every single day. So got that open. We open our doors officially August 4th. You know, we got like this small little group of hardcore people that are starting to come in, and things are going really well. You know, I mean, you know, we always talked about kind of doing this in the past, and it feels good to really be making a difference, because, I mean, the people that we've got in there right now are awesome. You know, we always kind of said, you know, we don't want it to be a cult, but we want it to be like people that are really serious about achieving their goals, you know, not the people that just go and, you know, kind of, you know, slug through their workouts every single day. You know, we wanted people that were serious about getting stronger, losing body fat, getting into great shape. And luckily for us, we've really got a great group of core people that have gotten us going. And, you know, life is good right now, man. No complaints.
Sure, you got a full setup of cardio equipment, correct?
Yes. It's called a Prowler, medicine balls, heavy bags, all kinds of stuff like that. We have an Airdyne, which everybody scoffs at, you know, the first time they walk in, and then I put them on some intervals, and they hate life for about the next 20 minutes. So, yeah, you know, no cardio equipment. I love it, you know.
Speaking of intervals, just want to update the audience quickly that, Mike, I don't know if you know this, but I am currently doing Mr. Cosgrove's
Warp Speed Diet.
I am. I'm doing Warp Speed Fat Loss, and the 1 week is down. It's been incredibly easy diet-wise. The workouts, as Tony can attest to, have been pretty rigorous, and they are, you know, if you're doing trap bar deadlifts for sets of 12 and then going right into that, going into landmines and then going right back to trap bar deadlifts for sets of 12, it doesn't sound that bad, but it's like doing deadlifts for sets of 12 is just unbelievably killer.
Honestly, I can't remember the last time I ever went above 5 with deadlifts.
Yeah.
So doing them for 12, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, you're like almost like a bodybuilder now, right, Kevin? I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like.
More or less.
But he was flexing in the office the other day.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, Kevin. He was showing off the pipes a little bit.
This is in between the mopping session and straightening up all the gym equipment and everything?
And vacuuming.
Yeah, it's a tri-set that we have set up. So
perfect.
I just jump from thing to thing. It works out well for everyone involved. But yeah, for people who are interested in checking some more stuff out about that, I will be blogging about the nutrition aspect and also some of the supplementation in regards to Warp Speed Fat Loss. But so far, so good. Like I said, the eating part, I've not had like cravings or anything. If anything, I've been feeling more full than ever because I'm getting in a ridiculous amount of fiber every single day, which has its positives and negatives, but we will save that for another time. And one more thing I want to bring up. Tony and Eric make fun of me a lot about watching, you know, science fiction television at Crusher Performance. First thing I want to mention that somehow Eric started a rumor that I played Dungeons & Dragons. It could not be further from the case. I've never played Dungeons & Dragons. And I just want to clear that up immediately. And if people want to send emails, you can send them to, I think it's ec@ericcressy.com, and just send some words towards his way, you know, backing me up, because I've never played that. And people who know me can also back that up. But we did get one email from Josh, a listener of the show, and he said, "I was getting caught up in the past episodes and listening to episode 102. Not exactly the type of thing I was expecting from the Fitcast, but I got so pissed off that Stargate Atlantis was canceled. I had no idea it was canceled and didn't expect to hear to first hear it from the Fitcast. Episode 2 was depressing." And again, that's from Josh. So, Tony, I just want to let you know that you may have also offended some of the listeners out there. So I would just, you know, watch what you say in the future.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
That's all you're gonna do. And Josh, I feel your pain. We had a great...
I've never heard of that show in my life, though, to be honest. Never heard of it in my life.
That's all right. I don't think Tony can afford cable.
Kind of like 2 a.m. in the morning, and you have like three people that watch it.
10 p.m. Friday nights on Sci-Fi Channel.
If oh, okay.
Check that out. You can go do that, but. That's not why we're here today. We're here today to do some Q&A with Mike Robinson. So let's start with the first question that comes from Jimmy. He says, "What's up? I use Magnificent Mobility on a regular basis with my clients and have found the results to be nothing short of awesome. Do you and Eric plan on releasing additional mobility DVDs in the future?" And also, he says, "What do you think of yoga? I personally think, borrowing from Tony, that it sucks." And that's from Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy, just to answer the first question, as far as Eric and I having plans to create some more stuff, I would have to lean towards that being yes. We're actually kind of in a very preliminary stage right now, but what we'd like to do is go back in and really take Magnificent Mobility to the next level. I think, you know, we covered a lot of bases there, and you know, the feedback we've gotten from it has been nothing short of, you know, astounding. I mean, it's just amazing how many people it's helped. But, you know, Eric and I are both kind of perfectionists in that regard. We really have, you know, changed a few things that we do. And I think we can take it to the next level, you know, maybe put a little bit of assessment in there so you got a better idea of what exercises would work well for you. We'd get rid of some exercises, put some new exercises in. And then, as always, work on, you know, improving the cueing. Because, you know, every good coach is going to work to improve the cues so they can get the right execution out of the exercises. So, yes, I would say that the cat's kind of out of the bag there. We're going to work on that. Hopefully when I'm in Boston next weekend, we'll get some of that done. To answer your second question about yoga, I will kind of have to agree with you guys. You know, I don't think it broadly sucks. I think most people just flat out need to stretch more. And I've said that numerous times. The biggest issue I have with yoga is the fact that it's non-discriminate as to where it stretches. You know, you see people doing these stretches. Obviously, it's going to promote some hypermobility around the lumbar spine, which most people do not need. But, you know, most people already, you know, they're very stiff in their hips. You know, they have too much movement around their lumbar spine. So when they go to do a lot of these poses, you know, they're reinforcing bad movement patterns. So that's the biggest thing, you know. If I had a yoga teacher that was up on the biomechanics, then I think it could be, you know, a very useful tool. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I just don't know that many yoga teachers that, you know, really care about biomechanics and, you know, taking their knowledge base to that next level.
Also, just on a side note, Jimmy, if you are, you know, in the need of some more DVDs from Mike, the 2008 Indianapolis Performance Enhancement Seminar DVD series did just come out a little while ago, and you can pick that up at Mike's site at robertsontrainingsystems.com. It's a huge 6-DVD set that is definitely worth checking out. Mike, do you mind just giving people like a little info on that?
On the seminar DVDs?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So when I went over to Australia this past year, you know, I created 4 separate presentations, if you will. And what I tried to do was give people a very kind of broad overview of the things that I do with respect to training each section of the body. So I did like an upper body presentation, a lower body presentation, a core presentation, and then I brought it all together with a program design. Well, when I got back here, I was like, you know, this is a lot of information, and I wanted to share it with more people. So what I decided to do, and I chatted with Bill because he had some stuff that he wanted to talk about. So Bill and I just decided we're going to put on a seminar here in Indy. It'll be a good way to start talking about the gym, getting people excited about that. So we took the four presentations that I did in Australia, and then Bill took it and did two more presentations, one that covers assessment and a second which talks about stretching methods. And you know, I firmly believe, if nothing else, if you just watch the stretching DVD, you will get your money's worth out of the package because Bill has such a unique approach. You know, we really try and get rid of the word tight, you know, because tight could mean a lot of things. It could mean a muscle's short. It could mean it's stiff, you know. So Bill really delves into the differences between shortness, between stiffness, how to address each with different stretching methods, because it's just like anything else, you know. A lot of times, stretching, there's not really bad stretches, but you can make it more optimal using the right stretch at the right time. So that's kind of the seminar series in a nutshell. But you know, if you're an NSCA certified trainer, whether it's CSCS, CPT, we've got continuing education units. So it's a pretty good overall package, and it gives you a good idea of, you know, if nothing else, how Bill and I are training, assessing, and working with our clients on a day-to-day basis.
Very good. Tony, do you mind grabbing the next question about IT bands from Chris?
Absolutely. The next question is from Chris. He asks, I've been trying to loosen my IT bands for some time with stretching and foam rolling and low-impact cardio. I tried running and the same knee pain resurfaced. Is time and patience all I need, or is there something else I can do to loosen those bad boys up?
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you're constantly injuring the same area, you know, whether it's a hamstring, an IT band, something along those lines, you know, something mechanically probably isn't working right. You know, you can do all the stretching, all the soft tissue stuff that you want, but if it's not resolving, then something's probably going wrong. Here's a good example. One of my online clients actually flew in from Florida this weekend. You know, Bill assessed him. We took him through some stuff because he'd had some kind of persistent TFL issues. And one of the things you'll find, whether it's a TFL, an IT band, whatever, something's probably not working right, and that's what's causing the issue. You know, I mean, you can treat the IT band all you want, but until you figure out what the true cause of the problem is, it's probably not going to get better. So in our guy's case, you know, his TFL kept flaring up just because he had no butt. He could not use his glutes at all. So his body went to the next strategy, the next compensation, which for him was his TFL. The other thing I would look at, only because I know Chris and I know what his training history is like, I would also examine, because I know he runs quite a bit, I would examine what his training volume looks like. You know, a lot of times when you start getting some of these connective tissue injuries, people just crank up their training volume or their training intensity far too quickly. So those would be the two things. A, does he have a mechanical issue, whether it's maybe glutes not working as well as they should, something like that, and or B, starting to examine, you know, your volume, your intensity with regards to your training and figuring out, hey, did this correspond with, you know, an increase in one or the other? So hopefully
yeah,
that helps,
and
Chris.
Mike, I'll just add in on that. Like, when you start talking about biomechanical issues, like, as most people know, I've been having knee issues for quite some time now, and I just recently started going to go see Dr. Marchese, who's this great chiropractor, ART guy in Massachusetts, and he is very much into assessing movement and, you know, how important the nervous system is and all this. And, I mean, stuff that he pointed out to me, like, for instance, my gait pattern. Like, he noticed that when I walk, like, my right arm sways, my left arm doesn't. So it's, like, stuff like that. And then not only that, it's, like, he even assessed, you know, my squatting pattern and how my tracking stinks. But pretty much all stems from the fact that neuromuscularly, like, I am just messed up beyond belief. So it's insane. So a lot of the stuff that he's pointing out to me, it's not because, you know, my TFL is, you know, overfiring or my IT bands are tight. It's more on the lines of, like, I'm just not moving the way I should be moving. And that's an aspect that I think a lot of people fail to realize. And that's a great point that you bring up when you start talking about how people move biomechanically and, you know, and trying to find out what those faulty motor patterns are.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking about it yesterday, and Bill made a really good point. You know, compensating is natural. You know, it's like if your glute isn't working, you know, you don't just stop walking around or stop squatting, stop deadlifting, you know, but compensations are natural. You know, it's what help us produce movement. The problem is when we start to rely on those compensations, we keep feeding them with all our movements, and eventually you start to run out of compensations, you know, and that's when you end up getting injured. You know, and that's probably the stage you were at. You know, your body, maybe you got injured, you know, who knows, maybe you were 15 or 20 or you did something. And so to work around that, your body found an alternate strategy. Just the problem was that alternate strategy just wasn't sufficient, you know, especially when you want to squat and, you know, pick up heavy things and run fast and throw 90 mile an hour fastballs. You know, it's like driving a dragster, you know, you got to have that thing as dialed in as possible if you want to get maximal performance out of it.
I mean, if anything, he's had to bring me back. I mean, a lot of people forget that you kind of have to take a step or two back in order to make that progress. So, I mean, in the meantime, you know, he said, you know, I don't want you doing any two-legged squats, no bilateral deadlifts. He even said I shouldn't even be doing glute ham raises, you know, mentioning that my hamstrings are weak, which I found odd because, you know, I deadlift 560, and I'm like, well, how can I have weak hamstrings if I deadlift 560? But certainly I'm listening to him in the sense that I need to take those steps back. You know, like I need to just relearn the proper way I should be moving, as opposed to, like you said, I'm compensating up the ass. Like, it's just it's amazing. Like, it started in the left knee, reverted to the right, and it's just like one compensation pattern ended, another one began, and the other stuff started hurting. So, but taking those steps back, I mean, well, it sucks, and I understand why, you know, people get frustrated that they can't train and do what they want. It's definitely a necessity, but you know, it's nice to have someone tell you what you need to be doing, because I'll be the first to admit that the hardest person to train is yourself.
Absolutely. And if I can just rant just for 1 second here, and then we can go on to the next question.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that irritates me about people that talk about corrective training, or, you know, say, oh, yeah, they just do a bunch of corrective stuff, you know, you don't come into our gym and just see people on the floor doing glute bridges and scap circuits for their whole workout. You know what I mean? It's a component. So if somebody comes to me and their shoulders are a total mess, then, yeah, they're going to spend more time doing that. You know, that's what they need to do. That's what they need to learn, because their body isn't doing that correctly. You know, but as you progress somebody, you know, big exercises are the best corrective exercises you can use. You know, if you want to really get somebody's low trap strong, have them do chin-ups and get their chest to the bar. Or if you really want to get somebody, you know, super strong in their serratus, you know, have them do really heavily loaded push-ups. You know, I mean, strength training in itself is corrective if they can do it properly. You know, and that's where, you know, most people, they think, oh, I'm doing the right exercises. But you're absolutely right, Tony. A lot of people need to take a step back, get their body to work the way that it should, and then when they move forward, you know, they're really going to see the progress. But some people, for whatever reason, just don't buy into that. You know, they'd much rather do it half-assed for year after year after year, rather than taking a step back saying, I'm going to take 3 to 6 months, get myself working the way that I should, and then, you know, really seeing some super, super progress from there. So,
You bring up a great point, because I know you and Bill do that. Eric and I do that at Crusty Performance. Like, people need to get a training effect. Yeah, they're hurt, or they, you know, they need stuff that needs to be fixed, but at the same time, you can't be doing glute bridges for a half hour and expect that, you know, you're going to get any training effect out of it. So, totally agree with you. I mean, Eric and I hit on that point with just about everyone. It's like, you know, getting stronger is going to be corrective. You need to get a training effect. You know, the big compound movements are while, you know, everyone's not going to walk in day one and do a deadlift, squat, whatever, but we're working them up to that point, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and I think the more we can get that word out there, the better off the industry is going to be.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, next question comes from John. I have a question about picking exercises for the dynamic warm-up. I coach both football and wrestling, and I want to start incorporating some exercises in the warm-up from Magnificent Mobility. I was wondering if you had to pick only a handful of exercises to teach and use as part of a team warm-up, what would they be? Thanks. And that, again, that's from John.
Yeah, thanks for the question, John. You know, a lot of times I always just try and get at least one stretch in for all the major muscles or all the major movement patterns. You know, so I'll try and get a stretch in for the hamstrings, one in for the quads, hip flexors, hip rotators. So if you're kind of working your way through, you know, just like a general warm-up would be, say, like a knee hug, a pullback butt kick, a single leg RDL, a lunge with a twist of some sort, walking Spider-Man. And then I always want to try and get, if possible, I always want to try and get some sort of glute activation in. You know, especially if you're working with high school kids, they're sitting all day long, you know, and 99% of the time their glutes probably aren't going to be working optimally, if at all. So I always want to try and get some of that basic stuff in there. You know, it doesn't have to be too strenuous, but just, you know, the basic movement patterns, and that's what we're always trying to ingrain, especially with athletes. You know, if we can get them just moving better pre-workout, then they're going to move that much better when they hit the field. So just try and get one good stretch in for all the different major muscle groups, and you're probably going to be fine there.
Well put, Tony. You want to grab the next one from David?
Next one's from Dave. How do you treat acute shoulder impingement in regards to corrective exercise? Do you follow any protocols that Bill uses? And I know you're a big fan of the lower traps activation, but is there any other exercises, soft tissue work, that you insist on?
Okay. I'm assuming from the way he wrote the question, it's not like a thrower, because that would obviously be, you know, a different kind of impingement and something that we would correct in a much different fashion. The things that I really like for somebody that has like a more traditional impingement or like a strength training based impingement, I love obviously low trap stuff. Anything that we can do to get the scapula moving better is probably going to be a good option. So, you know, we're going to do tons of scap circuit type activation, trying to get all those little guys working better, serratus development, low trap stuff. So you can kind of bring them in as far as the progression goes. You can start off with the basic scap circuits, maybe just a basic like push-up with a plus, and then transition them into bigger bang exercises, whether it's band-assisted pull-ups, some sort of resisted push-up down the line. But one other thing that I would think about this question, because I see he uses the word acute, and I would have a few doubts about that, because most people that say, oh, yeah, you know, my shoulders are totally healthy, and then, you know, 1 week they go and they bench and their shoulder hurts. Oh, it must be an acute thing. You know, very few injuries that I see are acute in nature. Most of them are, you know, the little things that have kind of, you know, been delayed and been put off to the side for year after year, and now it's finally amounted into something where it's pain or physical dysfunction. So I would obviously take a look at the whole training program that you're doing as well, trying to decide, is this really optimal for me? Or just like we were talking about before, do I need to take a step back, get my body moving a little bit better, and then progressing forward from there?
Jason has a question in regards to trainers in the Midwest. He basically is asking if he lives in Kansas, and he wants to know if you know of any trainers with the same philosophy out in that general area, and also if there are any seminars that you're going to be doing out in that area as well.
You know, first off, I can't say that I know anybody that lives in Kansas, let alone a trainer. So don't think I'm going to be able to help him there. As far as people in the Midwest, you know, I really don't know a ton. You know, I mean, obviously I know what you guys are doing in the Boston area. You know, I know what Mike Boyle's doing. It seems like, you know, the really good trainers tend to be on the coasts, just because there's probably a lot more business there than there is in the Midwest. Sorry, Jason, I can't really help you out there. But we obviously have seminars here. Bill and I are going to try and do at least one every year. So I would obviously, you know, if you're interested, come check us out, and always just kind of stay out or stay tuned with what's going on, because there are tons of great seminars. Like, you know, I was telling you guys before the show, Eric and I are going to be going to a seminar in Boston next weekend. So, you know, there's good stuff out there, and, you know, it's kind of rare that the seminars come to you. You got to be willing to travel and seek out the best in the business if you really want to take your game to the next level.
And don't be scared as well to network and take stuff in your own hands, and just email guys too. Like, you know, you'd be surprised in how forthcoming people are in helping you out and giving you a hand and expertise. So certainly, I mean, the internet's a great thing in that regard. So you know, as Mike said, know, yes, you're going to have to travel to get to those seminars, unfortunately, but certainly reaching out to people via email and asking them questions and just touching bases would be a great way to get your foot in the door in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Lastly, just jumping off both those guys, a lot of trainers on the internet will offer online program design. So if you want to shoot emails to Mike, I don't know if you're doing any more online clients or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of steering away from that a little bit just because we have so much going on with the gym. But I mean, you know, like you said, if there's a trainer whose philosophy you really enjoy or somebody you're really interested in working with, most people will do online training. So absolutely shoot them an email and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for, you know, XYZ and, you know, this is what I want to get out of it. And there's tons of good trainers there. And, you know, people try and say, oh, well, online training, it's not what it's cracked up to be. But, you know, there's a lot you can do. I mean, it's not perfect by any means because I can't sit there. I can't coach you and cue you. But, you know, whether it's you sending me video clips or, you know, me just putting together a better program for you, you know, you can get a lot of benefit from that. So absolutely, I would definitely check out that avenue if you can't find somebody there in Kansas to help you out.
Tony, you got the next question?
Oh, yeah. The next one's a pretty loaded one, but it's a really good one. This is from Sherry. I have a family history of bad knees, arthritis, both kinds of arthritis, and I'm a 29-year-old female. For the past 5 years, I noticed my knees are already popping and clicking. I work out regularly with weights and cardio. Do you recommend any supplements to help prevent bad knees? My mother, aunt, and grandmother have all had knee replacements and hip replacements. Am I just doomed to have this problem also? Any thoughts would be great.
Okay. Well, first off, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's a pretty wicked family history you're staring at right there. So, are you doomed? You know, I don't know. There's probably going to be a high likelihood that at some point you'll need a replacement. But what I would tell you is this. A, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do to put that off as long as possible. And B, as far as the supplements go, there are absolutely supplements that you can take that are going to help you in that goal. You know, you're already strength training, you're already doing cardio, which is great. You know, maintaining a normal, healthy body weight will help. But as far as supplements go, and I discussed this in my Bulletproof Knees manual, sorry, my cat's a little upset. First off, you know, your entire diet needs to be examined. You know, the more anti-inflammatory, you know, taking in tons of omega-3s, trying to get away from the omega-6s, which are more pro-inflammatory, I would really start there, you know, because that's kind of the basis. As far as supplements go, obviously, a fish oil would be a staple, you know, and that's for anybody, but especially for you. You know, EPA, DHA are going to be huge, and you can get, I prefer BioTest Flame Out. I just think, you know, I'd much rather take 4 pills that are really high quality than take like 10 or 20 from Meijer that are junk. So I would start with that. Glucosamine and chondroitin, again, the jury's kind of out in that regard as to how beneficial it is, but it's something like $50 for me for like 3 months. So I figure that's a pretty fair investment. It's less than $1 a day, and if that gives me a couple extra years as far as my joints go, then it's a pretty good deal overall. Let me think. And then just one other thing that I always kind of generally recommend is antioxidants. You know, vitamin C, vitamin E, when we're exercising, we're releasing those free radicals. Antioxidants are going to go in there and kind of help quench that thirst a little bit. So those are the basics that I kind of always recommend to people. At some point, you know, you're probably going to need something along the lines of like a Synvisc or something like that. People do get some joint pain relief, you know, as that synovial fluid starts to dry out. It's going to help coat things, improve the lubrication, but that's a really wordy answer for, you know, you may need it, but if I were you, I would try and put it off as long as possible because, you know, while the replacements have gone and they've really come a long ways, you know, they're by no means bulletproof yet, and, you know, chances are if you're that young and you have to get one at like 40, you're going to have to get like 2 or 3, which nobody wants to do. So do your best. Try and keep your knees as healthy as possible. Fix the diet up a little bit, and hopefully you can delay that as long as possible.
Just jumping off that point that Mike just made, people might remember a while back, and Mike, you might remember me emailing you about this like almost 8 months ago, but I had a client at college who was a female student athlete, and she hadn't played. She was a soccer player, and she tore both ACLs, and she hadn't played soccer in 18 months when I got here. But I actually went to Mike, and I looked through the Bulletproof Knee Manual, and I actually used a lot of the stuff in there to help get her back to full strength. And it just from going from having her not being afraid to, you know, put load on for her left knee was the one with the latest ACL, so that was the one that she was really cautious about. But just going from, you know, just easy to supplementing with things like omega-3s and doing things like X-band walks, you know, strengthening up the glutes, did wonders. And I got a call from her on Thursday, and this totally out of the blue. I haven't talked to her since I left college, and she goes, "I just wanted to call you to let you know that I made the Smith College soccer team." And this is after not playing soccer for, it must have been over 2 years at that point. And it's just like great. I mean, like this is, I'm a very young person getting into this field, but I can start to see how like trainers feel when they get, you know, calls like that, people helping people lose weight. But this is like she was just ecstatic. Like she was just happy to just make that call and say, you know what, like I'm not afraid to put load on either knee. I'm going at full speed now. I'm able to sprint down the field and, you know, stop in an instant. And it's just, it's great when you have stories like that. And that's why we're in this business. It's great.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Hey, congratulations to you for doing that. Good for her, because, you know, I've been an athlete. You know, I still consider myself an athlete, even though I'm not really competitive anymore. But, you know, that's got to be a great feeling, because I know what a difference it made when I had a good trainer. And, you know, if I blow an ankle out or, you know, whatever, just, you know, I felt confident in the fact that they could get me back faster and better than before. So that's great, man. Good for you.
That's awesome, Kevin.
Well, again, like I said, if you guys are interested in knees, definitely be looking at Mike's articles on T-Nation and Bulletproof Knees. That's what I use to help guide me through that process. We do have one more question from Roger. He asks, I've been looking into buying a knee sleeve in order to see if that would help me revive some of the pain I get due to some patellofemoral issues while I work on what's really causing it by using your Bulletproof Knee program. Could you go over some advantages and disadvantages of using one, and if possible, could you recommend a brand? And by the way, on top of this, Tony Gentilcore needs to buy new knee sleeves. His knee sleeves smell like a 60-year-old's armpit.
I knew you were going to bring that up. Damn, he's in heaven.
Okay, first off, as far as the knee sleeves go, you got to understand the only benefit you're going to get is the increased joint temperature. It's you know, part of it's psychological. It just feels good. Your joints are warm. It feels like everything moves a little bit smoother. But the big benefit is going to be joint lubrication. So as far as the patellofemoral issues, it's probably not going to have a huge effect. You know, it's just a fact of life. And what you need to be focusing on, and again, the program is obviously going to help, but focusing on the mechanical issues that you have. And, you know, I know people talk about, oh, you know, VMO isolation sucks and all this, but, you know, and when you get into the research, there's some benefit. You know, there's got to be some benefit, because the VMO not only is innervated by separate nerves than the rest of the vastus medialis, but there are actually different fiber pinnations, you know. So it's quite a bit different structurally and neurologically from the rest of the vastus medialis. So definitely focus on, you know, getting basically your medial thigh stronger, get those glutes stronger, focus on obviously loosening up the IT band, lateral retinaculum, you know, those lateral structures that have a tendency to get too stiff and pull that patella laterally. But those would be the things that I would recommend from like a training or mechanical standpoint. Then Roger goes on and asks about the brand. I'm a huge fan of the Rebands. You know, I don't know where all you can get them now. I always bought mine from Jackal's Gym. I think it's like jackalsgym.com or something like that. But the Gillingham brothers run that, and I love them. I bought a pair probably 5 or 6 years ago, and they're just phenomenal. They probably stink worse than Tony's, to be honest, but, you know, they feel great.
That's where I got mine.
Yeah, you know, anytime I squat, deadlift, whatever, it just makes everything feel a little bit better. And I don't think improved joint lubrication is ever going to hurt anybody, whether you're 18, 38, or 58. So definitely check it out, jackalsgym.com. The Reband knee sleeves are, at least in my opinion, far and away the best. So.
Yeah, and just to clarify, we're referring to knee sleeves, not knee wraps.
Yes, totally different.
The sleeves are neoprene, you know, soft tissue, and we're not talking about knee wraps. So, but I definitely go right with Mike and say the Rebands are definitely awesome.
There you go. You have no reason to not get a new pair now. You know where to go and where to order them.
Yeah. Well, I actually have two pair, so I kind of alternate between the two. But I certainly, I've used them. I've had them for, Mike, have you had the same pair for 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I wash them. It's just.
Yeah, I wash them every now and then. But I'm not scared.
Yeah, I mean, they get a little, you know, stinky here and there. But, man, you know, I tell people to suck it up. And
that's what
relax.
Happens when you train, you know. You know, yeah, it's not like we're going
good,
for
a leisurely
walk through the park. You know what I mean? Trying to squat and deadlift and, you know, move some heavy things and not be a total fat ass. So,
fair enough.
Know, there's going to be some body odor involved with that.
That's awesome. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. For people who do want to get some more info on Mike, again, you can head over to robertsontrainingsystems.com. On the left side, there's a product section where you can check out a bunch of the products, including the seminar DVD set and Bulletproof Knees that we talked about, and also Magnificent Mobility. And if you're interested in warm-ups, there's also the Inside Out warm-up DVD, which covers foam rolling. So that's definitely a great setup there. And I'm pumped now that Mike's coming to the Boston area. Hopefully we'll get to hang out, and then I get to learn a little bit more. I get like a bonus episode of the Thick Ass, so I'm pumped about that.
It's actually my first trip to Boston, so, you know.
Oh, Mike, we're going to the Sunset Grill, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, sweet. I'm ready, man.
That's like,
probably sound like shady
inevitable.
Little dive bar, huh?
No. Anytime that's our spot. Anytime someone comes into the city, we immediately go to the Sunset Grill, so. It'll be some good eating.
It's practically like they sponsor the show, the amount that Tony talks about them. But
yeah, I might look into that. Get them to like sponsor us or something.
Or Barnes & Noble.
Their way.
Yeah. There you go. That would be sweet.
It would. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Again, please head over to Mike's sites at robertsontrainingsystems.com. And also, if you want to check out IFAST, that's at IndianapolisFitnessAndSportsTraining.com. You can check out thefitcast.com for the show notes. Subscribe through iTunes. We probably will have Mike Roussel on next week, or possibly Chris Bell. Either way, we will have a guest next week. So keep a lookout on thefitcast.com for updates and blog posts, and subscribe to the newsletter to get first dibs at asking questions. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all next week.